Welcome to Garage Series. My name is Jeremy Chapman.
I'm Mark Cashman.
So last time we recently looked at Office mobile experiences across a bunch of different platforms.
You guys looked at everything.
Not just Windows, but also Android, iOS.
Android, yeah.
We looked at Office Mobile as well as OneNote, SkyDrive Pro, you name it, everything we tried to cover in that one episode. But today we're going to look at something else, right?
Yeah, today we're going to go behind the screens and take a look at what we do with these devices from admin, management, control. So what you do with your data, your documents, and how people access them through all those devices you just talked about.
Right, so we had to separate the two episodes to show all the end user experience and not upset those guys because we want to show the IT control
that's right.
IT department has to make over these devices.
Yeah, yeah. You did the end user stuff, now we're back onto what IT Pro and admins are going to do.
But before we get started, let's have a look at today's trivia question.
True or false? If you execute a remote wipe against a phone syncing exchange email using OWA for devices, it will factory reset the entire phone.
So stay tuned for the answer at the end of the show. Mark, there are a lot of trends impacting the way that we work and our expectations in terms of what devices can connect to services, right?
Yeah, there's all the movement around devices, bring your own devices and how you can control them, but also just whittles down to how are you deploying your technology and how you're configuring it.
Right, and all of that really, I mean, when we think about it, it's not any different than a lot of things that you're doing now, because really it's always been pivoted about the user's ID.
Yeah. So who you are is important, whether you're going to the site through a browser on a big desktop, or if you're obviously programming an app and logging in and accessing content that way.
Right. So kind of in the old world, when you think about the way that we have everything set up, we kind of have our perimeter firewall.
Yep.
Within that, we might have our organization.
Yep.
And then within that, we have different departments. So maybe people can get to the entire organization, say if they're a full-time employee or a vendor or whatever you've got set up in terms of permissions.
Yep.
But then you might have boxes like human resources where only payroll and payroll people can access that type of data.
Yep.
In addition, you're going to have maybe things like R&D, where only research and development personnel are able to get to that data. So it's not like I can just plug in and jack into a phone jack somewhere on premises and be able to access that as an employee anywhere, right?
Yeah. So what you've drawn here is basically with inside their firewall, right? At least in the old way to think about it. Whole company and then HR people being able to hit a certain site, certain set of documents. But then when they try to go maybe to the R&D site, they have limited capabilities versus when they were on their own site.
Right. So all of this, basically, when we think about the cloud, we can get rid of that outer firewall layer because basically the cloud will have the same types of controls. And you'll still have the same types of permissions both inside the entire organization for certain data types, maybe low business impact types of data.
Yep.
And you'll still have all the controls, whether it is a mobile device or a full PC, because it is ID-based. As to what sites and what data you want to allow people to connect to.
As we start to erase those lines of the bare metal that you're managing or the patch manager or the uptime, you're still able to control all the policies that you want to set. So you're real focused on the data access and really your governance plan. So if you know that certain people need to access certain documents, you can do that. But of course, running the business and keeping it up to speed, the cloud is really managing that uptime.
And in that sense, it doesn't really matter in terms of what devices are that connect to it. I mean, certainly you'll have differences between like policy management capabilities from one device to the other.
Yep.
With everything hinging upon that user and really the user's access based on his identity, it can be a mobile device or it can be a desktop computer. The rules are essentially the same.
Yeah, and don't forget, people have multiple devices. So it's just an endpoint to access those sites, documents, mail, calendar. And what you're doing, just setting the policies, is really just going to ask, who is this person? What do they have the rights to? And as you plan out that governance plan, we just adhere to how you set that your requirements.
Right, but bringing it back to devices, we've also done a lot of work in terms of making sure that these sites render very well, whether I'm on a larger screen or a smaller screen device, right?
Yeah, so of course, a lot of what we've been talking about is the how do you manage the data, going in and out of your environment. But really, the other part of it is just end user experience. So, if you have the right level of training and people know the different solutions that you've built, we want to optimize the experience for the device as well so that you have some things that the admin can do to help support the best experience on maybe a 4-inch device on an Android phone versus when you go to that same exact site to have a different experience if you're on a 27-inch monitor. Same site, same content, same access to the content, but a different experience that's optimized for maybe touch on the 4-inch device or mouse and keyboard and maybe a fuller, richer experience when you've got a bigger screen.
Right, and the key point here, again, it's all governance ID-based.
Yep.
It's all up to you. So there are some things, though, that are device-specific, and kind of back to my point about policy, we've had to develop over the years in terms of IT controls, and a lot of that really came out of Exchange ActiveSync. So I actually caught up with one of the foremost engineers of the Exchange ActiveSync team, Greg Barabolt, to get his view on the evolution of those mobile device-specific controls.
Awesome.
So Greg, you've been working on mobile device management for a number of years now with Exchange, ActiveSync, and really managing the email experience on devices. How has that evolved? How did that start way back when?
Well, really, you have to think back 10 or 12 years ago to the mobile device space at the time. And aside from the technology differences, which is pretty amazing when you think about it, there's a huge difference in the way people actually get their devices. It used to be that the IT department would buy the device for their employees. They'd come in through IT, get set up, provisioned, and then essentially given to the employee. Today in the BYOD, bring your own device world, people are buying their own devices and they want to bring them in and have one device that has both their personal and their corporate content on it. So really there was a need at that point for IT to still have some control over those devices.
Right, because I know we used to have group policy, say on the Windows side, but you didn't really have something like that for phones, right?
Right, exactly. So we needed to be able to apply a policy onto a device that still made the device secure. And so for example, PIN lock. IT can require that a device have a PIN lock or that the device support encryption. Now the user has to accept that policy when they get their device, but once they do, they're able to sync their corporate content freely.
Right, and beyond kind of those things, PIN lock, remote wipe, and all the management controls we had with Exchange ActiveSync, we also saw an evolution in terms of all the different proliferation of device types, platforms, Android, iOS, Windows Mobile, then Windows Phone. How did that really change things from an Exchange ActiveSync perspective?
Yeah, well, with more and more implementations of ActiveSync on the device side, we saw varying levels of quality and of feature completeness on the devices. So we've created a new feature called ABQ, or Allow Block Quarantine, that actually allows IT to control which types of devices, what device makers or platforms are allowed to connect into the enterprise.
And that's even evolved a bit more beyond ABQ into things like OWA for iPhone and iPad. How has that changed things from a management perspective?
Right. Well, with the ActiveSync days, it used to be that if enterprise needed to remote wipe a device, they would remote wipe the device. People would lose their personal photos, texts, other apps that are on the device. Moving more to an app model lets IT control the app itself, and it's treated more like a container. So now an administrator can remote wipe OWA for iPad or OWA for iPhone. It removes only that data from the device and leaves the customer's data intact.
Great. Thanks, Greg, for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's take a look at how all of this is achieved through technology in Office 365.
Yeah, we're going to see a whole bunch of things happening from the IT pro initiating some things and obviously how that affects the device. And we can walk through what different devices and how they apply to RMS, how you can wipe them from a distance, and the difference between full device wipe and app level.
Right. And so the app level, or selective wipe as we're calling it, is really kind of the direction that we're taking. And that really makes it so you can just wipe the applications maybe that were provisioned by your employer, the data that's inside of your email, your calendar, those types of things, but not the entire device.
Not the entire thing. We want to pull away from where if you have to initiate a wipe, that you're going to lose all that stuff that's personal, photos, videos, and stuff.
And part of the other technology controls that we have in place in terms of protecting not only what device, but who interacts with various forms of content is using things like rights management services. So you basically have to prove, one, that you're the person who's got authorization to view that file, and two, that device platform needs to support viewership into that file as well.
Yeah, and that's applicable to mail, calendar. That's also applicable to, you know, your documents. So as you get into setting policies on the actual back end, so Office 365 and how people access Exchange Online or SharePoint Online, you want that to be adhered to based on who you are and the device logging in as you from the app.
Right, and one of the things that's very important also, and kind of as we heard in the interview, was that as we've kind of developed Exchange ActiveSync over the years, in 2010 we did something called Allow Block Quarantine, which basically gives us the ability to quarantine certain device types maybe that don't meet our corporate governance or requirements in terms of connecting to our email services.
Yeah, and you want to be able to apply that across the devices. And if somebody has more than two devices, three, four, or five devices, it might just be one single device you want to quarantine, or it might be that person's devices
and
you want to quarantine.
And the nice thing, too, there is if you determine, like, say, through media, and they say there's a vulnerability in a certain version of a certain device or a certain platform, I can then, after the fact, put those devices into quarantine so they don't continue to get data from my Exchange server.
So that's applying some policy across a kind of device, not just an individual person.
Right, and something else that comes up a lot is really around what is out there in terms of doing remote wiping of devices that may have been lost or stolen, because you don't want people to walk off with devices they don't own. And if somebody leaves the company,
yep,
then you're going to want to be able to also wipe their email content, their calendar, et cetera, from the device, right? So we can do a lot of that. And I wanted to show a quick demonstration,
yeah,
where we do the kind of the traditional device wipe that people have seen probably quite a bit in the past.
Yep.
And then this new, more selective device wipe where we can just wipe the things that we've put on the device,
yeah,
ourselves.
So why don't you show the old method? And certainly it's a tried and true method for, you know, pretty full device wipe, something that's still available and very, yep, applicable in some scenarios.
Yep. So I'm here on my Android phone. Now, you see I've got pictures of my kids on the phone. I've got some applications I've loaded to the phone. Of course,
yep,
all of my Office applications are already loaded. Now, if I go back onto the PC, and I'm just going to go ahead and issue a wipe to this device from the Exchange Admin Console, and when I save that, it's basically gonna have a wipe pending for that device. So the next time I connect with my phone into email, I'm just going to pull down my emails.
Yep. So
that's
syncing
gonna
back,
hit
making
the
a call to the
server.
System.
No, no.
Oh,
it's resetting my phone to a
so
factory
it's,
state.
It's taking everything off. So you're going to have the OS still. The phone is fine, but all your apps, all your pictures, your videos, obviously your corporate data is going to be gone, as you would hope.
Right.
But for the individual, that's kind of a bummer and maybe even a trouble with the company, because now they've affected a person's personal device.
And I'm actually trying to hold back the tears, but now all the photos of my kids growing up have been wiped off.
Did you have them back
the
to the cloud?
I wasn't using cloud services to back them up, so they're all gone. The phone's back to a reset state. I'm just going to put it down now because I'm depressed.
Well, let's transition and see where we're kind of headed into the future, or really the now. So mm-hmm. we're starting with the OWA application. So I'm just looking at here in terms of the OWA for the iPad. And I'm just going to go in, and you're going to see that it's just where my mail is. You can see that if I navigate and now go into my calendar, you'll see that I've got all my, you know, meetings that I have and everything that's sunk to the device from Exchange Online.
So still important information to protect if you leave the company.
Absolutely. So now if I go, just like you did, went into the admin console, and instead of initiating a full device wipe, I'm actually going to initiate it just on that OWA app. So let me put that in. And then when we go back to the app, make sure that goes down. When I actually go back to the iPad, I'm going to relaunch the OWA application. And at first instance, it's going to look like something's wrong, like, you know, my OWA isn't opening. But what's really happening is it's wiped all of my mail and calendar information. So it's almost acting as if I haven't ever launched the OWA application. Which is good, because if you see the rest of everything here, you see that all the apps are still there, all my photos are still mm-hmm. intact. It just did actually take away my calendar and mail. Now, if I need to, I can go in and log in and resync and get my mail again.
Right.
The application actually is still there, but I can get back to a known state, and I haven't lost anything on my personal side. This is, you know, my personal iPad that was, you know, has all my good stuff on it.
Right, so all that stuff is still intact.
Yep.
Basically, it's put the Outlook app back into kind of the out-of-box experience, so I could reconnect it later.
Yep.
One pro tip, if you're doing this and demoing this at home, is that you have to delete that wipe issuance, because it will just keep wiping itself every time you try to log in.
Oh, no. That's good to know.
Yes. And speaking of pro tips, we also have new technology on the Windows Phone and on other platforms in terms of being able to use the Office 365 admin app.
Yeah,
so
this is cool.
I've got my Lumia device here, and basically when I launch the Office 365 admin app, I can sign in, and here I've got my Office Garage tenant. I'm just going to add my password to that. Now, essentially what I've got is all of my service health dashboard available to me on the device. I can see anything that might be in maintenance. I can go into any of these individual workloads and really look at the health and the quality of service. And if there is anything actually affecting that service, I'll be able to drill into that and see what the issues are. I can also determine things like how often the device resets the information that it's getting as mm-hmm. as it's pulling that service health dashboard information, and really have a great experience in terms of all the things that I can view as I'm managing my entire organization, the Exchange workloads, the SharePoint workloads, things like FOPI, the online protection,
yeah,
all
yeah.
of that I can view just in one place through my phone. So if I get a couple of phone calls or text messages that the email service is down,
yep.
I can quickly jump onto my phone
go
and see
in,
what's
validate
going
it.
On, and determine, you know, how I use that.
Yeah, so we've always talked about productivity on the go. This is really being able to do management on the go, or at least the monitoring and knowing the health of the service, so that if your company's having a problem, you can see, you know, is it something with the Office 365 service? We publish and put out a lot of information when Exchange Online, Link Online, SharePoint Online, or if they're having any issues, so you can see it right there on the app.
Right, so lots of great new technologies, lots of old tried and true tools, and then directionally going to that kind of selective wipe environment. So before we end this show, let's have a look at today's trivia answer.
True or false? If you execute a remote wipe against a phone syncing Exchange email using OWA for devices, it will factory reset the entire phone.
So the answer to the trivia question was false. We do not wipe all of the contents on the device and reset it.
I would ask you, why would you? But now that we don't have to wipe the full thing, you get to keep what it is you don't want to wipe, but absolutely wipe what needs to be wiped.
And on a related note, no children's photos were harmed during the filming of this episode.
Absolutely. You will be able to do that nice video sharing and showing to your family later on.
Right, so let's recap what we've talked about in today's show.
Yeah, so basically we want to make sure that you have retained all of those age-old principles. So if you set policies on sites and document libraries, basically who can access that content also is reflected on the device when they try to access. If they have permissions, they can access it. If they can't, then they certainly get blocked.
Right, it's a different world in terms of who owns the device. So they're no longer necessarily issued to you by your employer. A lot of these are BYOD, bring your own devices. And you don't want to wipe everything on that device.
Yeah, because if you do, then you really are going to, you know, make a employee pretty unhappy. But you are also retaining the safety of your data.
Exactly. And one of the things that we didn't cover a lot on was Windows Intune. That's really leading the charge in terms of being able to do some of the higher-end features beyond what we talked about today, like provisioning applications and even doing selective wipe across other things that maybe your employer put on your device.
Yeah, it's really cool what the team is doing and how it plays into Office 365 as well.
Yes, and all of this and more can be found on Microsoft.com/garage. Goodbye for now. Thanks for watching.